The Bible says in Psalm 44:1, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them." Because of that, notice verse 4. The psalmist says, "Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah." Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. And God, this morning, as we just think about your blessing and you being our Heavenly Father and you being a great God, Father, I pray you'll bless this morning. I pray you push me off to the side and speak to me and through me to your people this morning. Father, I ask you if you give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word today. God, I just want to tell you that we love you. That I love you, and I sure am glad that you're my Heavenly Father. And Father, today I pray we'll bless your name and hold you in highest regard. Father, we honor you today with our, try to honor you today with our lips. Father, give me a set of angels around my mind and lips and tongue and teeth, and help me to be able to think and then speak what the Spirit tells me to say. Lord, I just want to say, hide me behind the cross, speak through me and to me in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you like, even if you don't like. This morning, as I thought about Father's Day, and I thank God that I never caught... I don't know how they what they do in other countries, but in this country, if you have a father, I've always called my father Dad. Now, I don't know if they do that. I don't know what they do, like I said, in other lands. I don't know what they do in other places or in other households. But in our family, we called him Dad. And a while back, I thought about that little word, Dad. I guess I'm kind of weird. You don't have to agree or say amen right there. But but as I thought about Dad, I've alliterated a lot of different things, and I like alliterations. And as I thought about Dad, I just wrote down these words. I wrote Dad, instead of writing it across, I wrote it down, D-A-D. And I wrote alongside of those words, dedicated and devoted. You know, anybody, any human male that has no complications, that has no problem, any human male can produce a child. But it takes a real man to be a father. And we're going to honor the fathers today, but we're going to honor God more than anything. Because being a good dad, I thought about these words, dedicated and devoted. I looked up the word dedicated. It means to proclaim, to be given to work, to the worship of a divine being. To set apart for sacred use. This is what the word dedicated means. To be committed to as a way of life. To inscribe or address by way of compliment. It simply means to be given over to. It means deliberately restricted to a particular use and task. Another a synonym for the word dedicated is wholehearted or singleness of purpose. Then I thought about the word devoted. I looked it up. It means to be given over completely by a solemn act to a cause, use, and end wholly and purposefully. To center the attention and activities. means to vow, to apply self with seriousness and earnestness is what devoted means. As dedicated means singleness of purpose, devoted is a singleness of passion. There's a fervency that comes with a person that is devoted. Just as there is a focus that comes with a purpose, that a person that is dedicated. And can I say this morning, as I thought about being dedicated and the things that a dad, the right kind of dad, ought to be dedicated to, may I say this morning, and I don't know how far I'm going to get in my sermon. I'll be mindful of the time, and I'll let you out about the time the pastor told me to. But can I say this morning, as I thought about being dedicated, I thank God that my Heavenly Father was dedicated to me. I sure am glad that when I didn't know Him and I didn't know that I needed Him, He knew who I was and He knew that I needed Him. And I'm glad He was dedicated to me. So I believe this morning that I believe, as the Bible says here in Psalms, it says, "For we have heard with our ears, O God." Verse 1 says, "Our fathers have told us what work Thou didest." As you flip over to, you don't have to, but Psalm chapter 78, the Bible says in verse 3 of Psalm 78, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." All through the Scriptures, those are the only two places where the Bible talks about our fathers have told us. And in Psalm 44 and in Psalm 78, God wants us to make sure that we pass along our heritage from us, from Him down to us, and us down to our children. I thank God that we have that privilege. But when I think of dad, I think of a person that was dedicated and devoted. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter 18, would you please? Go to Genesis chapter 18. I apologize for the cough, for coughing, but a couple of weeks ago, I was in and out and in and out and in and out of air conditioning. I was in a church meeting, and they were redoing their gym or redoing their auditoriums. We were out in the gym, and it was about 90 degrees and about 110 out in the gym, and they had no air conditioning, but I had air conditioning in my car. And I went from a sweaty, hot mess to air conditioning in my car, back to the sweaty, hot mess, back to the air conditioning in my car. And by the next morning, I was hacking and coughing, and it's my own fault. But I draw your attention to Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 17. The Bible says this, and the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great, thank you, I'm trying to read through my glasses, become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him." Look what God says. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." But God says this about Abraham, that he shall keep the way of the Lord. He'll teach his children to keep the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. God said that Abraham, the father of all nations, that Abraham was a dedicated and a devoted father. Can I say this morning, I believe if we're going to be the kind of father that Abraham was, if we're going to be the kind of father that God wants us men to be, I believe we must be dedicated and devoted to the Savior. I believe we must be dedicated and devoted to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 18, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Man, I read different passages in the Scriptures, and I've got them all written down here. And as I got to reading these things, I thought about being dedicated and devoted, having a single purpose and a single passion that's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Being dedicated and devoted to the Savior. Can I say to the Savior that's able, that's amazing, to the Savior that's awesome, to the Savior that is our bread, that is our best friend, to the Savior that cares and cures, to a Savior that's compassionate, to a Savior that is dependable, that is dedicated and devoted to us, to a Savior that is the edifier and the encourager of the brethren, to the Savior who is the Father and our friend and our faithful witness, to the Savior that is good and our guardian. He's our God and our God and a gracious Heavenly Father. To a Savior that hears and helps and gives hope and happiness and Holy Spirit filling. To a Savior that illuminates, indwells, and instructs. To a Savior that justifies. To a Savior that keeps His Word and His way to us. To a Savior that's kind. To a Savior that makes us kin when we get saved. To a Savior that is love. To a Savior that leads and looks on us and labors with us. To a Savior that mends our broken heart. To a Savior that is mighty. To a Savior that is near and noble. To a Savior that opens hearts and lives, that operates on us in love. To a Savior that the pastor talked about this morning, that is omnipotent, that is omniscient, that is omnipresent. To a Savior that is pure and potent and powerful. To a Savior that is our quality and our quantity. That means all you can ever hope for. And when you find Him, you'll find that He's all you've ever needed. Hallelujah. To a Savior that redeems and rescues and revives and releases and relieves. To a Savior that saves our soul, that salvages our lives and our ministry, that sets up, that suckers and secures. To a Savior that is tremendous and tender. To a Savior that's unbelievable, unstoppable, unchangeable and unimaginable. To a Savior that is valuable, that is victorious, that is valiant, that is vibrant, that is viable and vicious. To a Savior that's wonderful. To a Savior that is the Word and is to be worshipped. The only word I have for the Savior in X is extreme. And I know it starts with an E. To a Savior that is to be yielded to and is to be yearned for. To a Savior that is our zeal and our zenith. When I thought about being a dad, D-A-D, dedicated and devoted, our single purpose ought to be for the Savior. Our single passion ought to be towards the Savior. Do you understand? There's nothing that He can't do. There's nothing that He hasn't done. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for Me? Is there anything impossible for God? The answer to that is no. My friends, this morning, we as dads, we ought to be dedicated and devoted to the Savior. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 18. I will love the Lord. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. I've been where I've been, to the place where I've been weak and didn't know if I could get up and didn't know if I could go on. Maybe you've never been there, but I have. I've been to the place where I wondered, am I ever going to be able to take another step? Am I ever going to be able to do anything else? Is it over now? And I sure am glad that when I didn't have any strength, He became my strength. When I could not stand, He was standing for me. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. I like verse 2. I probably don't have time to get through it, but the Bible says this, the Lord is my rock. He's my rock. It's not talking about a rock you can pick up and throw at your brother. It ain't talking about, I got a brother that I like throwing rocks at. Matter of fact, if he was in the room, I'd probably throw a rock at him now. Because he's an idiot. Amen, you're welcome. There are some family members that are idiots. And I probably have, I have been there. Y'all are giggling. You know I'm telling you the truth. Especially if you're from West Virginia. Half of my church, high street, half of the church is from West Virginia. Amen. It's a good place to be from. I love West Virginia. I preach in West Virginia a lot. I love West Virginia. But I thought about what the Bible says. He says, the Lord is my rock. Like again, it's not something you can lift. It's talking about a mountain of a rock. It's talking about a rock that no matter what happens, it's unmovable, it's unchangeable. It's just, it's huge and it's solid. It's not going anywhere. It's steady. It's set. It can't be budged or changed. Listen, we ought to be dedicated to the Savior. Why? Because He's not only our strength, but He's my rock. Listen, the psalmist is very personable. He said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. What's a fortress? A fortress is a place where I can run when I don't know where else to go, where I can hide when it seems like the devil and everybody is looking for me and I don't know where to go, but I can run to the Lord. I can run to Him as my fortress. I can get inside His walls and I don't have to worry about being messed with. I don't have to worry about being found. I don't have to worry about being taken out by the enemy because I'm in the fortress. I'm in His fortress. He's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I remember the night I got saved. He's my was my deliverer. I was sitting in the auditorium, sitting in the second row, basically over here in the second row, as a 16-year-old high school student, junior in high school, 1974, lost and on my way to hell. I was a Catholic boy sitting in the second row. Invited by my relatives that invited me to church. Now a bunch of them crazy Italians had gotten saved. And they take me to church. And I wanted to go to church because I was, they didn't know it, but God had been dealing with me for almost 2 years about being saved. But I didn't know any of the terminology. You got to understand, I was the head altar boy in my church. I didn't know any of what was going on. And I literally sat in the second row between cousins and aunts and uncles. And as the preacher preached, he preached on too many chiefs and not enough Indians, was the sermon on Tuesday night, the night I got saved. And when the invitation was given, which I didn't know what it was, but when he said, everybody bow your heads, well, I'm an Italian boy. I don't do too well with bowing my head and closing my eyes because I was lost and I don't trust you because I don't know you. And I'm sitting in a room full of people that I didn't know, but, you know, just I was uneasy. I was like this. And I don't know why I'm doing that, because I'm in the second row. There's nobody in front of me. But I'm just wondering, are they going to bring the guys down here and just drag us out? And the preacher said, the preacher got up and he said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubts? And I went from doing this to going to looking at him going, that's exactly what I did. I pointed to him and said, he went, I'm going to get to you. He said, if you'd like to know, I'd like you to step out of your seat and come forward. And I'm looking in front of me, and I'm going, I can't get out this way, and I can't get out that way, so I stepped over the front pew. My aunt almost had a heart attack. I stepped over the front pew, and I know you're not supposed to do this, so don't do this. When I stepped over the front pew, a man met me right here, and he took me, out a back door, down the basement, on a concrete floor in a metal chair, in the basement of the Park Bible Baptist Church in Pennsville, New Jersey, where you could go this morning and not be able to get saved. And he showed me out of the Bible and out of a gospel tract that God loved me and wanted to save me. And I found out that not only does He love me, but that He's my rock and my fortress, and He's my deliverer. That night I prayed and I asked Christ to save me. Can I just say something happened it's not about feelings, but something happened that I knew happened.
Is that okay to say? We okay? Okay, I want to be invited back again someday. But when I got saved, when I got up off my knees, I knew everything was different. And I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know it was called salvation. All I knew is the monkeys that were on my back were no longer on my back. The guilt of sin and shame was gone. I couldn't explain it, but I experienced it. Is that okay to say? I mean, I knew something had taken place in my heart, mind, and life. Just things were different. Man, the light came on. God says, the psalmist says, He's my deliverer. Then he says, He's my God. What does that mean? That means from now on, He's in charge. From now on, I don't know what the rest of y'all going to do. Y'all on your own. I'll follow Him. He's my God. Can I tell you what our churches need today? We need something. We need some folks that will say, hey, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I follow Him. I follow Him. The psalmist says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. Hey, He's my God. I'm going to follow Him. I'll trust Him. I know Him. Better than that. And then it says this, my strength. He's talking about, hey, I understand now. I can be strong in Him. My strength. Then it says this, in whom I will trust. In whom I will trust. Who are you going to trust? Can I tell you He's worthy? Can I tell you He's trustworthy? You can trust Him. Everything He says is so. Tell me one place in the Bible that where there's a mistake. You say, well, I found one. No, you just don't understand it. There's no mistakes. There's no errors. There's no oops. Do you know this? In heaven, God never says oops. I'm working on a sermon right now. When oops gets old. But that'll be talking about us. But you know, in heaven, God never says, oh! When I say, oh, my wife starts going, what's wrong now? Usually when I'm working on something, I'll go, oh! She'll go, before she says what's wrong, she says, oh dear Jesus, please help me. Don't let him break nothing else. You might as well just say amen. You know, she said, yep, you heard her. But I thank God. Listen, I can trust Him. In whom I will trust. This is a statement of dedication. The psalmist says, I will trust Him. I'll trust Him for everything. I don't understand Christianity. Dads, moms, Christians, people listen to me. I don't understand the kind of Christian that says, I'll trust you to save me, but I won't trust you with my wallet. I can't trust you with the will of God because you're going to send me to, you know, East Jibit nowhere. I can't trust you with my... You saved me. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's all I need. Thank you. I'll handle the rest from here. Dude, you're an idiot. I love you this morning, but that is wrong. Man, I don't know what's around the corner. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And I've had some anxious moments in my life, and I'll have more anxious moments. But can I tell you something? God never gets anxious. He never gets afraid. He's never left in the dark. And that's why the psalmist says, he says, I will trust. In whom I will trust. Why? Because I know He's sure. I know He's real. I know He's got my best interest at heart. Can I tell you this morning? He loves you more than you love you. Amen. And He knows everything about you. He knows what makes you and I tick. The Bible says He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And
still loves you after those things you've thought, and those things you've said, those things we've said and thought. You ever get ticked off at anybody? You ever just get upset with people? You just want to punch them in the face? You know you have. You ever get so mad that you just, you have to walk away because you know I'm going to ruin everything if I stay here another second, and you just... Sometimes I hang around a little too long. I'm sorry. I'm confessing sin. I confess it to God already. But there have been a few times I've hung around too long. And I've ruined a lot of things. Amen. You're welcome. When I thought I could handle this, I'll take care of this one, Lord. We've got to come to the realization in whom I will trust. We've got to learn to trust God with everything. I'm going through things right now, so if I say something and I look upset about something, it's because I'm upset. But I've been going through some things in the last couple of months that I can't explain. I can't explain, except God's teaching me patience. He's wanting me to trust Him. Somebody made the statement, new levels, new devils. If you're going to get, listen, the more you're going to get in tune with God, the more the devil's going to try to take you out of tune. You go to Ephesians chapter 6, and he talks about all those different levels. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and it just one after another. And they are literal levels of authority. There are levels of authority. Spiritual authority. Not only heavenly ones, but hellish ones. There are levels of authority. Just like there are levels in the military. Anybody been in the military? Anybody a general? Anybody have a general? Yeah, you had somebody running the whole shooting match. But everybody starts out, you ain't even a private, you just an inductee. That's how you start. Sign your name, we'll take care of the rest. And we all start the same way. And then you work your way up if you so choose. I've got friends that are majors. I've got friends that are some captains. I've got two friends that are generals. I mean, I know two Navy SEALs. I can't tell you their name because I don't think I know their name. No, I do. I tell you, they have to kill you. That's exactly it. But you know something? I've got friends that... But there are levels in the military. There are grades that you make. I believe there are levels of demonic, of the devil has. I believe he has buck pride. He has a little privates and nobodies, and he has people that work their way up in the ranks. And can I just tell you, you're going to run across things that are going to be in that you're going to say, why am I going through this? Because the closer you try to get to God, the closer you try to get to God, the more you grow in the Lord, the more the devil's going to throw opposition in your direction. Expect it. And that's why the psalmist says, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my deliverer, you're my God, you're my strength, in whom I will trust. I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to believe your word and just take you at your word. Preacher, I've been to the hospital bed of husbands who lost their wives. And they're looking at me for answers. I don't have any answers. I'm not even sure of all the questions. And the only thing I did was just sit there with him. And he looked over at me and he said, Brother Lou, I don't understand. I was honest. I don't understand. I can't understand the mind of God. I can't understand why God does what He does. But can I say this? I'm learning to trust Him. And I simply said this. I simply looked over and said, Jimmy, you just got to learn to trust Him. I said, I don't know why. I said, why did Job lose his children?
said, I don't know. I said, because the Bible says that he was a righteous man, one that feared God and feared evil. I said, except God was going to use him as an example for the world of what a Christian can go through and suffer. I've looked at many a husband, many a wife, many a spouse looking at their loved one. I've looked at many a parent, several parents looking at their child. And I said, I don't understand why God did this. I said, let me say this. God didn't do this. God has allowed it, but I don't understand the mind of God either. I just simply choose to trust Him that He knows best. And can I tell you this morning, I don't know why God puts us through the things He puts us through. But can I tell you something? I believe, according to the psalmist, we need to be dedicated and devoted to the Savior. He's a God I can trust. He's my buckler. A buckler is a shield. A buckler is one of these gigantic shields. That's what a buckler is. It's a huge shield that when the fiery darts are being thrown at you from all directions, you hold the shield up. Now, I like military battles. I've never been in the military, but I've read a lot of military battles. I like tanks. Tanks tear stuff up. I like tanks. The bigger, the better. You can't get a big enough tank for me. If I could find one and afford one, I'd buy one if it would go 75, 80 miles an hour. And I would drive it. Because people in Ohio drive crazy. It gets worse. People in New York and New Jersey drive worse. And I grew up learning how to drive there. But I thought about in a tank, there's only a handful of weapons in the world that can take a tank out. And I know there's more powerful stuff than that. But I just like them all, just tanks. I mean, I read a lot of World War II stuff. And those tanks, I mean, they were just pretty near unstoppable. I mean, if they had an army, if they had a gang full, if they had a whole a brigade of tanks come in, I mean, they clean up towns. They just take stuff out. You say, why? Because they're bulletproof. I mean, you can't shoot at them with even a 50 cal machine gun. They've got 12, 14, 18 inch thick fronts. Right? You're not shooting through that. I like things that are bulletproof. That's what God says that He's. That's what the psalmist says that God is my buckler. He makes us bulletproof. We can handle the stress and the shots being fired at us because He's my buckler, and He's the horn of my salvation. Hey, I read that and all I can see is a guy blowing a horn on a mountain. You know why? He's wanting everybody to know. He's wanting us to know. I'll blow your horn. I'm your God. I'll sound the trumpet. I'll let everybody know you're mine. Then he says this, in my high tower, nobody can reach me up there. Then the psalmist says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. But he says, he's worthy to be praised. The last five chapters of the book of Psalms, we don't even have time to go there, but the last five chapters of the book of Psalms, all it talks about is praising God. All it talks about is the praise of God. And it says that we don't praise Him, the very rocks will cry out. When was the last time you praised Him? Dad, you're the leader of the family. You ought to lead in praise. You ought to lead the family in praise. You ought to lead the family to praise the Lord. You ought to be the person that if nobody else is willing to praise God, you step up and go, man, I praise the Lord because He's good. I praise the Lord because I don't think we praise Him enough. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we ought to get doing cartwheels down the aisle, because number one, I can't do a cartwheel. But I'm saying we ought to at least praise the Lord. We ought to be able to say, bless God, He's a good God. He's been awful good to me. Bless His holy name. Amen. We ought not be afraid to praise the Lord. We ought to be able to say, man, praise the Lord, God did this. Praise the Lord, God did that. Praise the Lord. You don't understand. God's done everything. The Bible says we're to give thanks for the good and the bad. In all things. We're to praise the Lord. In all things. We're to give thanks. Can I just say this? It's not easy to give thanks for the bad things. I'm telling you, it's not. You say, well, I can do it. Well, praise the Lord. I'm learning. My wife has been a good teacher. Because some of the things we've had to go through, You know, I want to, you know, draw and shoot. And she says, honey, you just got to learn to praise the Lord. And I'm going, I don't want to. But I thank God for our Heavenly Father that loves me. And we as dads ought to be dedicated, have that singleness of purpose and devoted, that singleness of passion that revolves around the Savior. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. Listen, I can pray to Him. I can talk to Him. I can call out to Him. He's worthy to be praised. And it says this, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. They can't get me when I'm in here. Can I say this morning, more than anything else, I believe dads ought to be dedicated and devoted to the Savior, to the God of the universe, to the God who is all the many, many things that I mentioned, to the God who the psalmist says, He's my strength and my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. He's my tree. He's the God I'll trust in. He's my buckler, my shield. He's the horn of my salvation. He's the high tower. He's the God I'll call on. He's the God I'll praise. And He's the God I'll know that can save me from everything and has saved me from hell. You see, this morning, I believe we ought to be dedicated and devoted to the Savior of the universe. The pastor talked this morning in Sunday school. If you weren't here, he talked about consider Christ. I've got a whole series of messages. He probably stole them. I got a whole series of messages I preached called Consider Christ. And I put them things together about 10, 12 years ago. I mean, I use them all over the country because we ought to consider Christ. I use them when I was looking in this. Because we ought to consider who He is and what He is and what He can do and what He has done. But can I say this morning, after we've considered who He is and what He is and what He's done in the past, what He's doing now, and what He promises He'll do someday, one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to check out of this place. And they can have it. Amen. I'm so sick to death of the election and all the nonsense going on. Say, who are you going to vote for? I'm going to vote my conscience. I'm going to vote for the lesser of all the evils. I want my vote to count. But can I tell you something? I pray for my leader. Let me get off of that because I'm liable to say something I shouldn't say. I know I will. Can I just say this morning, we as dads ought to be dedicated and devoted to the Savior. We ought to teach our children to do the same. We ought to show them that He's worthy. We ought to tell them that He's worthy. We ought to explain the blessings of God. Let me get to the verse I'm thinking of. Hang on. We'll quit here and then we'll quit somewhere else. As soon as I find it, I'm going to read it to you, I think. Okay. I knew it was here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 6, 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach what? Teach them the Word of God. Thou shalt diligently teach them unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. Talking about what? Talking about the Word of God. And can I say this? Deuteronomy says, the Bible says this. It says that I'm to teach them. As family, as parents, as dads, we're to teach our children the Word of God. We're to teach them that He's God, and He's the Savior, and He's good, and He's the rock, and the fortress, and the lover, and the one that cares about me. That I'm to teach. I'm to pass along. It's my job to pass along. I can't pass along that for which I'm not dedicated and devoted to. And my friends, this morning, what God needs, what our country needs. Yes, we need another president that'll have some sense.
But before we need that, we need some people of God in church
that'll love Him with all their hearts, and all their souls, and all their minds, and all their strength. And they'll put Him first. The Bible says He must have a preeminence. He's got to be first. If He's not first place, please, I double dog ding dong dare you to prove me wrong. I don't want to be first place on your list. I don't deserve first place. God expects first place. Put me on the bottom. Put me at the very bottom of your love list. That'll be okay. But God says, if I ain't first, don't put me on the list. You know why? Because He's worthy. He's worthy. And the psalmist says, I will love Thee. Nothing without you.